Texas Parks and Wildlife Podcast, providing an exclusive look into efforts to conserve the wild things and wild places in Texas.
I'm Lydia Saldana with Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, and we're here in South Texas with two guests who we've talked to before. And with that, I'll let them introduce themselves.
I'm Adrienne Sabom, and I'm a mother of two, and I am from San Antonio, Texas, and I'm also an ambassador for the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation.
And I am Swati Rodriguez. I'm a mother of the one and only Calista, and I am from El Paso, Texas, and I love exploring with my daughter.
And you know, I should have probably mentioned at the top of this that one of the reasons that we're here in South Texas is that a crew from the Texas Parks and Wildlife PBS show has been following y'all around for the last couple of months, kind of chronicling your adventures together. So we've been in South Texas these last couple of days for Adrienne to show Xochi your world. But Xochi, and let's backtrack a little bit and talk about the trip that Adrienne made to El Paso.
Yeah.
And do you want to talk about that? I want to hear it from your perspective, but also, Adrienne, for you, what you experienced.
Yeah. It was funny because the whole idea was to highlight the different ways that we've accessed and fallen in love with the wild, right? And how the different ways it's been a part of our life. And I mean, Adrienne has grown up hunting and shooting, and I have never done either of those things. And that's felt like a bigger difference than I learned this weekend than it actually is. But Adrienne was gonna come out and hike the Franklins with us. And I, you know, the first podcast we talked about the 2,000 steps or 2,000 lunges trail, which is a mile from my house. And that mile is in an arroyo. So you access the mountain via an arroyo, and it's absolutely beautiful. And that's kind of where Calista and I have done most of our adventuring, and my pretty serious like strength training has come from that space in the mountain, because it's a vertical climb of nothing but lunges. So I had hoped and wanted actually for Adrienne to see that specific place, because that's really, in terms of my everyday access and encounters, that is where my soul lives, on that mountain. But of course, to lug camera gear up 2,000 lunges trail, it's called 1,000 steps, but we've aptly named it 2,000 lunges, to lug camera gear up that trail, I think I would have been the least liked person in El Paso by the Wildlife Foundation. So we didn't choose that trail. We ended up choosing Mundy's Gap via, I call it the Calista Detour, because we take a trail that's not necessarily marked to sort of take a vein up a smaller ridge that really gives us some spectacular sights. There's a direct route that we ended up coming back down with all those rocks. But I prefer the longer way, as usual. So, you know, it started out as Adrienne coming, you know, getting to the top of the Franklins, which is spectacular in and of itself, because you can see so far. And it gives you a scope of what El Paso is, right? You can see the border between Mexico and the U.S., but you also see New Mexico and Texas, because we're so close to both. And then on the other side, you see the extent of the military base, and it's just sort of this really crazy spot in the world where so many things come together. So I wanted her to see that, definitely. What we didn't expect was that Calista would hike to the ridge alone for the first time ever. I feel like so much of my identity in this campaign has been tied to carrying Calista on my back, and there's this, you know, this strong thing I do. And it was just so cool for Adrienne to come, and for the first time for her to get out of the backpack, to be with Adrienne there.
She was determined.
Oh, she's a little
beast. She did not want to get back in that backpack.
No.
She kept saying,
yeah.
Don't you want to get in the backpack?
Yeah.
No, Mommy, I'm fine.
She walked the whole way down, and by that time it was like high noon.
And the crew didn't make her carry a tripod, did
no.
they? Right? Well, Adrienne, from your perspective, how had you hiked the Franklin Mountains before?
I had not. I had been to El Paso before, but I had not height. And that's kind of, I guess, what spurred this whole thing on, because I was, you know, I'm just so impressed. You, and one, I've never hiked there, but that you carry her on your back, and that kind of spurred this whole thing on. And but no, I mean, it's interesting when you go up to the top and you see, like she said, you can see all of El Paso, and then you see Mexico, and it's just such a, it is a crossroads of, and you have pecan orchards, and then you, on one side, and then you have the Fort Bliss on the other side, and then you have this world colliding with the border wall going
through the middle.
And your
dad served at Fort Bliss, didn't he? So there was that connection.
Yes, yeah. He was at Fort Bliss. Both my brothers had lived in El Paso, and you know, then you have that border wall that you can just see, that you hear about all the time, and it's just, it's...
Wasn't that something when I showed Adrian, it cuts over the landscape, and then it actually climbs to the mesa. So the wall, it's a visual line, but it's also this, like, responsive, organic thing that... And I said, look, just there, you can see it climbs up that hill, and then goes flat on the mesa, and then climbs down, and goes back up.
It's, yeah, so yeah. It was... It's a neat thing to visually see up there.
Yeah.
And you know, it's so arid out there. It's just so different, you know, so different than Central South Texas or East Texas, really. It's just, it's, you know, like the desert.
Dry, just desert.
Yeah.
So did that hike, I mean, of course, you met Xochi, you read about her, but doing that hike, did that change an impression, or did that give you a deeper impression of Xochi?
Absolutely. She's definitely a strong, very strong individual and determined.
Thanks,
and she loves the outdoors and the fact that she's been doing this forever, not because someone told her to or it was a cool thing to do or whatever, you know. It's that she likes doing it, and she likes doing it with her daughter, and she's, you can tell just with Calista being down here, she's very comfortable outside trying new things, looking at bugs. She's not afraid of anything, maybe a snake.
Yeah, the snakes do it.
Not an alligator,
not
right?
Not an alligator, not a baby deer. But,
so what was that like for you watching, and I'm going to ask you this question too,
sure.
But what was it like for you to watch Calista do that, knowing this was a really big moment in y'all's life?
Yeah.
Climbing the mountain, you know, I mean, she, you could definitely tell she had accomplished something. You could definitely see it on her face, especially when we got to the top.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, I did this, you know, and she's a little bitty person. And you could tell even when we got down to the bottom and, you know, it's hard coming down, she was proud of herself, which is great. You know, I mean, that you can do something just because someone says, no, you can't get my backpack. She's like, no, I can do this. And she felt great about it. And, you know, she's a strong individual herself.
Yes, she is. And Xochi, how was that for you?
Oh, well, I still get teary every time I think about it. I didn't expect that I'd have to let go of her that day. Like, I was sure we were going to do that. You and I talking the whole way. Maybe she'd fall asleep coming down because it was so hot. We always take her out because there's things to see and touch and dig through, of course. And of course there's rock hunting to be done, but she usually pops back in. And so it definitely changed the idea that it was like a mission and a goal and we're getting to the top, and that I was in charge of the speed and the pace, which, how beautiful is that, right? To have been in control of that and sort of taught her what that looks like and even sounds like, because every hike is an exercise in her learning about my breath work and how I physically can do that, because it's a 45-pound pack going to the top of mountains, right? So it was just so overwhelming and sort of silencing and humbling to watch her do it all by her big self. And she didn't take very much guidance from me. I mean, she just did it. She was a couple times where she was tired, but she wanted to go barefoot at one point. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
it was obviously a really proud moment for me. And but also a big lesson.
What was that like to share that with Adrian?
Oh, you know, I was thinking about it, and at that time, Adrian and I, we knew each other and we had shared some things, but we were still, in essence, somewhat strangers to one another.
Yeah.
But I really believe
that anytime you're around another woman who's a mother, those things are easy to share.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't feel challenging. You don't feel vulnerable. You just feel together.
So now we're here in South Texas, and Adrienne's been showing you her world.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe we ought to just kind of do a blow-by-blow of some of the things that we've that we've done.
Yeah. Well, it's only been 2 days, and I couldn't even remember.
It's been 48 hours.
Couldn't remember the first thing we did.
The horseback ride.
The horseback riding. So I had only been on a horse twice. I grew up, I wouldn't say around them, but my aunt had a horse, so we would see them sometimes. But I would never say I had any kind of relationship with them. I've always found them beautiful.
And of course here, I mean, horses for you has been part of your life, your entire life, right? You grew up riding?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, she just knows just what to do at every turn. And I felt like such a deer in the headlights. Calista had never been on a horse. We've only ever like bike riding out in the valley.
Well, and I would like to interject as a chauffeur from the San Antonio airport that I heard Calista stay on the way. I'm not riding a horse.
Oh, yeah. And when Calista says she's not going to do something, it's usually true. She was certain that she would not be getting on a horse.
But she did.
And she did. I will admit that Henrietta, the cowgirl of Calista's life currently.
My cousin was there, and she was awesome. And she's really knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
And she really got right on the back with Calista and kind of taught her how to, when you get on a horse, you have to touch him first and kind of let him know that you're friends. Yeah. Pat him and just kind of get the, kind of like they say, the skin on skin.
Yeah.
And she did, and she was nervous, but then after a while,
Henrietta got off the back.
Henrietta
and
got off.
Calista rode the horse alone.
Calista rode by herself.
It helped too to have Lucky though. Like we got to really interact with the babies.
Yeah.
The colts, I guess they're called.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was. I think that was my favorite piece of it because we met the runt of the 22 group.
Yeah.
22 member group of colts, and this runt Lucky was just. Oh, he was such a little guy, and he was snuggly, and I think that helped so much because I told Calista, that horse is your age, but in horse years, pretty much. And it was just like, her mind just blew. Well,
and I've been around Calista just a few times, but I've picked up on a few things, and the photographers were talking about earlier that Calista's not one to make a big reaction.
Oh, no, yeah, she's careful.
But her eyes get really big. So when she was lifted up onto the horse, that's what I picked up on her eyes, getting that big. Did she say anything to you later about what that was like?
Oh, I know, in true Calista style, when she does it, and then it's done. And if you try to talk about it, no, that's already done. We don't talk about that.
On to the next
thing. Yeah, what's the next thing I'm going to do, Mom?
Well, and Adrienne, what's it like for you to share, I mean, something that is so deeply a part of you and your family and just the way you grew up with someone who's never done it before or a child who's never done
well,
it before?
Well, I get it because I was petrified of horses as a kid. Well, because my parents were great riders and they just kind of assumed, you're going to do the same thing. And every time I got on a horse, it would either take off with me.
Oh, geez.
Or I'd get bucked off. Or I cannot tell you how many times. I probably still start sweating at night about when the horse takes off and everybody's left behind and the horse is bucking and running through the field and you're just holding on for dear life. That happened to me so many times.
Aren't we glad we didn't have this conversation yesterday morning?
Did you see my face change? I know on the podcast you can't see what my face just did.
No. And it's probably why my kids don't really like to ride that much. But, but it's like Henrietta said, it's all about the horse knowing you and you being comfortable because they can sense if you're uncomfortable or scared. Just like any animal, a dog or whatever, they can sense that.
How beautiful that Henrietta introduced us to them, though. Like, she told us their names. She told us what they were like. I mean, they felt the horses themselves immediately, thanks to Henrietta, mm-hmm. felt like family. And she was like, oh, what was the crazy horse? I can't remember. There's a silly lady of a horse that gets into trouble, and she's kind of annoying, I guess. And so Henrietta was just sort of breaking down all of these characters in right. this space where we were. And so I think from the standpoint of Callista, like, that was so helpful to her because she found a point to relate, mm-hmm. I think, in that silliness. You know?
Right, yeah. And then what does that mean for you to see her experiencing something?
Oh, well, you saw me. I was tearing. When she got on the horse with Henry, I had to breathe because I wanted to cry. And I did not expect that reaction. I thought I would be proud, of course, and super happy. And I didn't think I'd be so overwhelmed. And I still don't know why I was so overwhelmed. But I'll take it. It felt amazing to see her up there. I think it's so beautiful to watch your kids so quickly do things that have taken you your whole life to get to. So it's not lost on me that I was terrified to shoot a gun this weekend, to even hold a gun. And I'm 30 years old, and it took that long to finally get to that point.
Well, that's the perfect segue to talk about what we did yesterday yeah. afternoon with the sporting clay shoot. Yeah. And I want you to describe the setup, what we did yesterday, and then we'll talk to Sochi about what that experience was like.
Since Sochi had never held a gun before, shot a gun before, we wanted to be in a safe environment, just so you can get used to a gun, besides just going out there and shooting something, you know. And so there is a 5-stand, which is the clay targets that come out. They mimic quail or dove flying. And so you're in the stand in this little cage. So you're really protected as far as from, you know, it's very safe, controlled environment. And so we kind of went through the whole process of gun safety and how to hold the gun, where not to point it, which is so important because there's nothing scarier than going out, especially quail hunting, because there's so much going on from other people out there, the dog handler, the dogs. There's nothing scarier than looking one way or the other and you see a gun pointed, you're looking down the barrel of a gun. There's nothing scarier, and it's totally happened to me. And, you know, then I just kind of am like, okay, I'm done for the day. I'm not going to put myself in that situation. So if you learn how to hold a gun and how to treat a gun, just from the get-go, you know, that's kind of a good starting point. So we started there, and then we advanced to shooting a clay target on the ground.
Baby steps, everyone.
And then we went to the flying targets. And she, of course,
no. nailed them on the ground. You nailed them on the ground. Right I was the there.
Bat.
I saw.
Yeah, right off the bat, shot the ones on the ground, and then shot the ones flying.
If it had happened any other way, I would have been like, nope, I can't do this.
With an audience, go. You know, with several people watching, which is totally shoot.
Several and a camera and rolling. Camera
several rolling. Great shooters. Like I've never felt so intimidated.
I was feeling for you. It was totally nerve wracking.
Yeah,
but
so,
she did great.
Yeah, what was that? I mean, just the whole thing, you've literally never picked up a gun. You've never shot a gun.
No, literally never. They've not been in my life or even on the periphery of it. I have a set of cousins. We were laughing. Uncle Jim Dick, who's sort of infamous in the family, lives out in New Mexico. And he is maybe the only source of exposure to that. But my mom grew up going out there. I did not. Never held a gun.
So what was that like?
I was shaking. I mean, I was visibly shaking. I was sweating.
Sweaty palms.
Visibly shaking. My muscles actually cramped because I was so, I yeah, I mean, my whole body, I was like working so hard through a frozen body, essentially, that my forearms and wrists cramped on both. Yeah, it was uncomfortable, let's just say, to say the least, it was uncomfortable. But it helped so much. I don't know if you probably even realize this, but I mean, Adrienne had just, last I'd seen her, we were in El Paso and we did this other crazy thing, and she had seen me far more vulnerable watching Callista climb a mountain for the first time than I felt in that moment. And it helped so much to have her there and have her talking me through it. And minimizing isn't the right word, but it helped to have someone beside me who had this as a part of their normal life. It wasn't an extraordinary thing. Same as what I've done with Calista is not extraordinary in my life. It helped me literally exhale. Like, I finally was able to just go, okay, just, it's fine. Once the shaking subsided, that was, that made
after a couple of shots,
after a couple
then you
shots.
Kind of calm yeah. down. You know, you just kind of relax. Okay, it's not that bad.
I mean, I think I've built it up so yeah. much because it's been so far away. And to a certain extent, gun safety in our family was just to never go near them or have them.
I was asking her something, is it, you know, about the gun. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, to the point of, she said, I basically, it was just to stay, it was taught to just never touch a gun. Versus, I'm like, don't you, does it feel different now? And she said, yes, because now I know how to handle a gun safely
yeah.
versus just staying away from it. You know, which is such a healthier way to, for me, if you know how to do it versus.
To know, like, you hold the gun up. You, there's a safety on it. Even just the like, understanding that there are mechanisms in place. And beyond that, I think to have had my first experience with it be framed in such a safe place, in the safety of people who have been doing this for combined, you know, if you combine
years.
All the years, you're talking more than a century. And to remove, the only frame I have for it is one of violence, right? And this allowed me to understand that these are things to be respected and utilized and used. But before all that, learned about, right? You have to learn about it.
So you shot like two boxes of shells, like
I
no problem.
A lot of shells.
And you're not even sore today.
Oh yeah, I had an amazing time. It was simultaneously, I felt really like huge. I just felt super strong, but I also felt very, very humbled, which was a nice feeling.
Because it is a powerful
yeah.
thing.
You have
I felt, to be
it,
honest,
yeah.
that I can't believe that there is a parallel between doing that and the way that I feel once I'm at the top of anything, right? Or if I've managed an entire, mm-hmm. you know, 28-mile hike or whatever. It was a similar feeling, which was unexpected. Calista got to watch me be scared. She has seen me go through, and we've talked about it, because I didn't want to just throw her into this weekend. And my mother, of course, was also just like, how are you going to do this? Because my mother raised me in the absence
yeah.
zone, right? And I completely respect that model, absolutely. But I would tell them that it matters that she saw me scared, and it matters that she understands I didn't know how to feel about guns. Those feelings matter, and it matters to be honest with her. And I feel so incredibly lucky to have had the opportunity to sort of transform my understanding right before her eyes, right? So like she got to watch, she saw me shaking. Mm-hmm. I would look back at her and she was giving me thumbs up.
With her Nerf gun?
Yeah, like the roles were certainly definitely reversed. I would say that it is as simple as you don't get on a mountain bike unless you know how to ride it. And nor should you hold a gun unless you know how to shoot it. I think that's just a fundamental and really simple truth, right? And I would say as far as, I think it's impossible to talk about this without talking about kids because
yeah.
of so many things that are going on right now. They have to be a part of that education process based on what's happening in their lives and in their schools and in their spaces. It's not difficult to include them, right? And to say there's a way to put an adult and a child in this situation together to learn how to handle it responsibly and safely. Yeah, I feel so lucky that it happened this way. Yeah.
What was that like for you, Adrian, to watch that, to observe what happened, to how she, someone who'd never picked up a gun.
Well, it is, because so many people are just, you know, I'm against it. You know, like, I'm not going to do it. That's not my deal. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And she was so willing to try it and, you know, step out of the box and, it's do something that you're not used to doing that you ever have done and you've been scared of, you know. It's nice to see, you know, you go out there and try it, from horseback riding to shooting a gun. I mean, they're both scary. They're both unknown, you know. And she, at the end, I was like, you may go join the gun club in El
Paso. I mean, they had me thinking, like, where are the shooting ranges?
Yeah.
And, of course, we have them because we've got the military base. It's a big deal to shoot.
During this course of this last few months, the course of this We Will Not Be Tamed campaign, of getting to know Adrian, a different way of experiencing, enjoying the outdoors.
Yeah.
What have you learned?
That there is always more to everything than meets the eye and even meets the heart, right? We're all adults in the campaign, so we've got, you know, decades old sort of traditions and connections built in place with the wild. It's possible at every step of the way to reach across into the void and still experience something that you don't know anything about. And it's more importantly, it's totally possible to reach across Texas and like fall in love with a place you didn't really even know anything about and truly appreciate and admire someone you didn't know existed a year ago, you know, that you'd never spoken to or seen or laid eyes on. And really, I think Adrian has taught me that this thing I've always known is in me, and it is an openness, and it is a willingness to learn things that push me to levels of discomfort. But beyond that, the fears that I've managed to conquer in the simplest acts of exploring outside, those fears exist in every other space, and they're conquerable there too. Yeah.
Yeah. Adrian.
You know what, Sochi's one who's really always up for trying something new, you know, and we were talking about it, which is such a great way, you know, to not be closed-minded, just be like, sure, I'll go try that. There's just so, because there's so many things in Texas I've learned from this campaign to do in Texas, outside. You know, and there's, you know, all the ambassadors do something different or like to do something different in the outdoors. And Texas offers so much, you know, from West Texas to South Texas, North Texas, East Texas, Central Texas. There's so many different things that you can do. It's just taking that step to do something new. And so many people don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you were so willing to come down here and, you know, yes, you grew up with not knowing about guns and your mom, you know, yes, not wanting you really maybe to do that, but you're like, well, you know, I think I can try. What does it hurt to try?
Yeah.
And I don't have to do it again, or maybe I will like it. And I think that's a lot of things in Texas, people just stay doing what they're naturally, what they do in their city, and they don't take that extra hour and a half drive or 5-hour drive to go to Big Bend or whatever it is to be outside in nature, and the kids benefit from it so much. And I will say, my husband is really good about getting us out to do things, and you just need a person to do that, to kind of push you. And I feel like Sochi is definitely, she does that, you know. She's in this campaign, and she didn't know when she got the phone call, she didn't know who she was talking to. She's like, who is this and why do you know me? But she was so willing to do it, you know, because she loves the outdoors and likes hiking with Calista. And so she was so willing to try something new. Because if we don't get involved and we don't buy the hunting licenses and we don't do those things and we don't conserve our wild places, then it'll disappear. It will go away. And for generations to come, that's so important because we've been able to enjoy it. I want them to. And that's the best thing about Texas is there's so much to enjoy. There's so many different, the topography is so different from the Nueces River to the beaches to the mountains, and there's just so much out there that we don't know, and there's all these ambassadors that y'all have rounded up. Everybody explores and does something different, but you can do just by going out and doing it. You don't have to, it doesn't cost anything, you know.
Yeah.
It's just getting out there.
Yeah.
So
Sochi.
Oh, well, I got in it because Calista and I have really frank and open conversations about the future of her environment and the future of her planet, and it's easy enough to take her on a walk and have her fall in love with Ocotillo, and I know forever in her life she will protect Ocotillo because she loves it. And I thought that was a lesson worth sharing. And you fast forward now, 7 months later? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 7 months later. I think this campaign has absolutely redefined what I understand to be a love of the outdoors. To a certain extent, my love for the outdoors has been very simple, easily deliverable. Just put me outside and I'll walk for 3 hours and I'm the happiest woman on earth. And I'll take someone on a walk for 3 hours and I feel confident I could make them the happiest person on earth. But I didn't know you could romp down a river named Guadalupe with a man named Thomas Flemons who could tell you the history of the soul of that river just because he's lived on it. You know, I did not know that dogs could be trained to stay wild. The hunting dog, we did these hunting dogs this morning that we got to meet were just the most incredible thing I've ever seen. The idea that really the only thing that matters is that we all learn to stay wild. Those dogs weren't trained to follow commands. Those dogs were trained to be themselves. And I think that's been what's so beautiful. Adrian is simply and beautifully herself. Every other ambassador is simply and beautifully themselves. And how beautiful is that? You train yourself to be you. And you go right back to the source of all things, right? I hope that in that message, really any parent or adult who's listening understands the value of including our children in that lesson. Calista is able to survive 48 hours in South Texas outside because I have allowed her to train herself to be herself. And the freedom that lives in that can only exist outside. It can only exist when she's in the dirt, when she's in the grass, when she's, you know, watching hunting dogs go wild and watching the moon and the sun in the sky at the same time. I think there's a point of return in those experiences, and I just hope Texans choose to return to that, you know, even if it's just every now and then. I hope that she has learned that anything is possible. That a couple of girls from El Paso can come to South Texas and fall in love and do something they never thought they'd do. And I think as a mother and as a woman, I really hope she's learned that we all belong in these spaces. And we especially as women, as she hands me a heart, she's colored beautifully, as women can support one another. And need to support one another. I will say I appreciate that it was Adrian who taught me to hold that gun. And I appreciate that it was Adrian next to me climbing the mountain as my daughter did it for the first time ever. There is just something profoundly beautiful as we're all returning to this deep place that lives in our soul. When women do it together, I think that's just really powerful.
Well, it's really awesome that there was a PBS TV crew along the way. And actually all the things that we've been talking about, viewers can actually see it. And the Texas Parks and Wildlife television series airs on PBS stations across the state. And I know that the segment is slated for the November 2018 season. It'll probably be rerun in 2019 as well. So be looking for that. And also for more information about that campaign, just check into wewillnotbetamed.org.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Lydia.
Great, thank you.
Texas Parks and Wildlife Podcast is brought to you by Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, supporting high-impact conservation projects across the state. Find out how you can help at tpwf.org.